surrendering, Lord, before your throne, Father. Thank you for your amazing grace, Lord, your grace. Grace, Father, grace through faith. We are saved this morning, Lord, and we can come before your presence, Lord. Go before your throne, Father. We just want to thank you for your amazing grace this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you to this worship team. They've been sacrificing their own personal time to practice and get ready, amen, for this morning. So very grateful for them. I recognize my insufficiency in giving announcements, amen. I forgot a few things. I remembered them about the time that I got down to the bottom step. I didn't ask for prayer requests. I forgot a few things. So I pray you forgive me this morning. I really do. I don't ever want to be a broken record in saying this. I want you to know the reality of my flesh. Amen. I'm a wreck without Jesus. I mean, to know that what miracle work that Jesus does in my life that allows me the boldness to stand and preach to you. So many people all the time, they go, you're not nervous at all. You don't seem nervous. You don't act nervous. Folks, I'm scared to death. I'm absolutely scared to death to speak. It truly is a work of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's a gift of the Lord. I don't envy any person that ministers or stands up in front of people. I don't envy my position. For that reason, I'm just scared to death, so please forgive me. I know there are prayer requests here this morning, and I do want to open with prayer concerning those things. If we could just go together to the Lord in prayer this morning, amen? Father, Lord, I know I skipped over these things, Lord, but you said, God, that you know the dealings of our hearts, Lord God. You know the trial and the turmoil of things in our lives, God. And you know the things that we need before we ask them, God. So this morning I lift up every prayer request, every heart, every life in this room, Lord God, every burden that's on someone's plate, Lord God. And I ask you, God, that you meet them right where they are this morning, Lord God. I pray you meet that request right where it is this morning, Father, whether it be mothers or fathers or children, God. Whatever it is, God, you care concerning your people, Lord. So we give you the glory this morning, knowing, Lord, that as we've gathered in the unity in the body of Christ, Lord Jesus, and we've agreed one with another that there is nothing that man can do on their own apart from you, Jesus. And we just submit ourselves, God, that your will be done in these situations, God. Heal those that can be healed. Touch those that can be touched, Lord God. There is nothing short, God, of miracles that is in your presence, God, that is in your dealings, Lord God. And you've come to men, Lord Jesus, to be in the dealings of men, God. So we trust you, God. I pray for our government right now, God, this morning. Father, as the world turns, Lord God, it is growing ever increasingly towards the demonization of the church and Jesus. But we stand, Lord God, in the presence of Almighty God this morning and declare, Lord God, your works be made known, God. Your glory be made manifest in this earth, God. We lift up all of those mothers that don't know what they're doing, that are aborting babies, God. Forgive them. They don't know what they do, Lord Jesus. Father, for those that are in homosexuality, Lord God, and those that are acting out, Lord God, in rebellion, Lord, forgive them, God. Encourage them. Draw them by your Spirit, Lord God, to redemption, Lord Jesus, God. This world has taught them to be something that you didn't create them to be, Jesus. So we stand in this church unified, Lord, even over Israel and Palestine, Lord God. We lift up, God, our prayers for Israel, God. We lift up, God, our prayers for the Palestinian people, God. Your word says to pray for the peace of Israel. Father, there is a land war that is going on right now in the Middle East, Lord God. And the only peace that will come is the true recognition of the one and only King. And his name is Jesus. I pray the Palestinians to salvation, God. I pray the Israelis to the salvation of Jesus Christ, the true Messiah, Lord God. And Father, we lift up this world to you and know, God, as the world falls apart, Lord, your church is going to be lifted up, God, as voices, Lord God, as voices of revival, Jesus. And I pray that every person here, God, is a part of it. I pray that we all can have the boldness to stand for the gospel's sake, Lord, and say, Lord, not that we've accomplished it yet or we've perfected it, God, but day to day, God, you draw us closer to you, God. Help us point to the salvation in which we found in your Son, Jesus. We love you this morning. We thank you this morning. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to say happy birthday to Miss Tori. Her birthday was yesterday. The little birdie told me, so I just want to recognize her. Glad to have everyone here in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray for me and my family this morning. We've had a tough week. My daughter, Selah, sliced her toe open really, really bad. And I just want to thank Brother Lou and Sister Debbie back there. They were such a blessing to help us in that situation and taking care of her. She's doing well. But our little dog died yesterday as well. So pray for my daughter. In this situation, her heart's just broken. Obviously, she loved her little dog, and so pray for us as we kind of navigate emotions and feelings, and just for the peace of the Lord. That may not be a big deal to some of you. It wasn't to me for a long time. I grew up, if a dog didn't have a purpose, you just shot it. You know, that was kind of how I grew up in a sense, and not really affectionate towards the animals in that aspect of things. But, you know, God cares about what we care about. And some people do have that affection towards animals. And God has that heart for them. And their heart is broken. His heart is broken. Amen. And I know for my 10-year-old daughter, I know the Lord is a comforter. Amen. So glad to be here again this morning. Get out of the preliminaries. We'll get right into the Word, where the anointing will meet me by the grace of God. And but if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I have a Christmas message for you this morning. And we're going to take communion at the end of service. Remind me. We were supposed to take communion last Sunday. I'm telling on myself here. We were supposed to take communion last Sunday, and I got to the end, and I was so happy that I got done by 12 that I plumb forgot. Amen? Luke chapter 2, we're going to be starting in verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you." I want us to read that together in verse 12. Amen. We're going to start right here. "And this will be the sign to you." Amen. Now that's important in what I'm going to preach this morning. Amen. That God knows who you are. He knows where you are. And He knows what you need to see. He knows how you understand things. He knows the direction that you're going and what it's going to take to bring the revelation of Christ into your life. Amen. Now, He's talking to these shepherds. Amen. And He comes to the shepherds in a way that the shepherds would recognize who Jesus is. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a description of the gospel to us? That when Jesus comes and He tells His disciples before He's taken up, he says, "I want you to go into the world, and I want you to preach the gospel to every nation." Amen? Now, when we go to every nation, do we go to every nation and preach to them like they're Americans? No, folks, we don't do that. I was in Dominican Republic some years ago, and I tried to minister to a Dominican one time as an American. And my interpreter just stopped. He didn't even interpret nothing I said. He just looked at me and he said, "No, you're not going to say that." I said, "Okay. What do I need to say?" He said, "When you come to my country, you figure out how my country is. And then you can minister to them effectively. You got to know how to speak to people. You got to know who Jesus is." Amen. You got to know His nature. You've got to know His character. The Bible says that when we're born again, the old nature goes away and the new nature comes upon us. Amen. So my nature is no longer earthly nature. It's heavenly nature. Right? But Paul then goes on to say, to the Hebrew, I'm the Hebrew. And to the Gentile, I'm a Gentile. Amen? And all this, that some might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've said this before. Jesus was born to die. He was brought to this earth to die on that cross. That was the purpose. When we celebrate this season, we can celebrate the coming in of the change of the world. Amen? We celebrate that not because of what was done in the beginning, as miraculous as it was, but what was done in its conclusion. In its conclusion, it brought salvation and that opportunity to the world. It brought redemption to the nations, and it laid upon those that believed on Him the ministry of reconciliation. Can I tell you this morning, you have the ministry of reconciliation. The Bible doesn't say, well, men have it, or women have it, or children have it, or whites have it, or Hispanic. It doesn't say none of that. It says, for those that are in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither male nor female. It simply says that we are in Christ. Amen? That everyone has the testimony of Christ Jesus, that in that testimony, through their life, in the glorious life of Christ, that some might be saved. Folks, some might not be saved, but by the grace of God, let it not be because we didn't tell them. Amen? You may think, well, Pastor Rafe, you've been preaching a lot on evangelism here lately. I am, folks, because the very nature of the church is to gather in unity, to come under subjection of the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they have that power, that boldness comes upon them to then go out into a lost and dying. The very last commandment of Jesus was, go into the world and make disciples of me. Amen? That is the commandment of Jesus Christ. So as a church, we must gather together. We must know who we are in Jesus Christ. And we must know the people that we're preaching to. And we must know the gospel message that we're relating and give it to them in the way that they need it so that it might be a sign to them. A sign. Now I want you to go on here with me in this book right here. It says, and it shall be a sign to you. Amen? Let me find my place. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now, folks, it was a sign to them that on this day that the baby was going to be found in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes in the city of David. He's talking about Bethlehem. Now, these shepherds are in the fields in the midst of Bethlehem, but it doesn't give direction. Anybody notice that? Anybody ever notice that? Never gives them direction. See, we depict today that the very manger was in a stable, but I'm here to tell you, what stable? How did the shepherd in all of Bethlehem, how many barns were there? How many lean-tos were there? Can anyone tell me? Nope, you're just as ignorant to it as the shepherds would be. But folks, there is something precious about the totality of Scripture. You understand what I'm saying? There's something precious about the totality. See, if you were a Jewish man, woman, or child, from the day that you were born, you were being told the stories of the nation. You were being told the rich history. You were being read all the stories of David, all the Psalms of David, all the laws of Leviticus. You were hearing all of the commandments of Moses from the day that they were born, because the Jewish nation knew that what they had was precious. The promise of God was going to be given to them at some point. And they didn't know when. They didn't know what generation it was going to be. So they made sure that when they expressed the historical facts of what God had done through each generation, they made sure that every generation knew what it was about. Amen? And I want to stop right there, and I want to ask you, are you effectively expressing to the next generation who God is, what He said, what His plan is for their life? Is anyone here this morning thinking about what happens tomorrow, what happens 10 years from now, what happens 40 years from now? Is anyone expectant of those things? Is anyone in preparation in this day and age to make sure that the gospel of Jesus is being preached, that those that are far off, because when in the book of Acts, when Peter got up and he says, this thing that has been done for us is a gift from God, and it is for you and your children and your children's children and all those that are far off. Folks, I'm not talking about them talking in tongues. I'm talking about the free gift of salvation. I'm talking about the redemption of the blood of God for all of them that accept it. And I can tell you, as a parent, my number one focus is that my children don't go a day without knowing what God has done for me. My children know the day I was born again. They know the stories of my life, that God was made manifest and real in my life, because I don't want them to doubt the reality of my God. I want them to know that God found your daddy in this place. And if you ever find yourself here, if you ever find your friends here, if you ever find a stranger here, that you can bring them right to the name of Jesus, and he will pull them out the way that he did for my father. The Jewish people held on to this rich history, this rich knowledge of God, because they had known that there would be a Messiah king that came out of the nation of Israel at some point. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, we've read out of the New Testament where these shepherds were brought up out of that religious cycle, but they were told very little about where this Messiah would be. But I can tell you, you cannot be confused when an angel of the Lord shows up. You can't be confused when that happens. You got to know that God is trying to get your attention, folks. You got to know it. Folks, in this, you got to know this too, amen. This is amazing to me. Folks, in the Old Testament, God had to use angels. An unredeemable thing. You understand what I'm saying? They were created one way. They were not redeemed. They are not redeemable. God had to use that in this time. But can I tell you something? When Jesus broke into the scene, when Jesus took the cross and men accepted him into their hearts, God did not use angels anymore. He brought up something that was redeemed, something that had a testimony of the goodness and the glorious nature of Christ. Folks, I could argue with an angel and say, well, you've always been perfect. But I can tell you, someone in that world can't look at my life and go, you've always been perfect. Because I haven't been. How good is God? He's made you perfect. But look at this mess. Folks, I just point to me and go, look at this mess. But look what he's done in my life to the glory of God. Amen. He takes those things that are redeemable and he redeems them by his grace. And then he sets you on the forefront that you might go be a messenger for the risen king. Hallelujah. But we see these men, these shepherds,
have no GPS coordinates. They have no idea where they're going. They've simply been told very minor details. It's like me saying to you, I want you to go find a stone somewhere in Indian town. It's wrapped in a manger and swaddled in clothes. Where would you go to look? If you didn't have context to it, you wouldn't know. But if you go to the book of Micah, you can go there with me if you want to. You can put it then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Micah chapter 5 verse 8 says, and the remnant of Jacob shall be named be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who if he passes through both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Folks, in Micah, it gives a very in-depth description of where the Messiah King is going to be brought forth. You remember in Genesis, when God spoke to the woman, he spoke to the serpent, and he said, I will bring forth my seed out of woman. And Micah says, it will be as the daughter of Jerusalem, who is in pregnancy pain. She will be bringing forth blood. And the Bible says, it as if he is bringing forth a lion in the midst of the flocks of that field. Folks, I don't know if you remember this in the Old Testament, but one of the names of Jesus, our conqueror, is the Lion of Judah. Folks, he was born to be king. He was born to be king of Israel, be king of this world. And Micah expresses very clearly where he'll be born. In that time, there is a place called Migdol Eder that literally translates into the Tower of the Flock. It's only represented in Bethlehem. That's the only place it is. And if you want to look it up, you can go back into Genesis and you can look where Jacob buried Rachel. He buried her in Bethlehem next to the Tower of the Flock. There it's mentioned as Tower of Eder. That tower's purpose was because Bethlehem had such a way of producing livestock, the blessing of God was on it, that every bit of livestock that was there was meant for the purposes of the cleansing of the temple. So every sacrificial lamb, every sacrificial cow, everything that could be sacrificed was raised right there in Bethlehem. Everything that went to Jerusalem, to the temple, to be sacrificed for the cleansing of the Jews, the sacrifice for their sin, everything that was there in Bethlehem was used for there. You understand? And folks, when they come to this revelation because of the angel and their former knowledge of Micah, the shepherds hear, he is born into the city of David, and you will find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. See, folks, it's not some barn out back, some inn somewhere. There was a place called the Tower of the Flock, and it was erected for this purpose, that the shepherds of that region would be able to go into this tower, and they would be able to go to the top, and they would be able to monitor all the flocks of Bethlehem from this place, and they would be able to express, there's danger afar. There's cities out there that want to hinder, that want to come, and they want to kill the sacrifices that are going to be taken to the temple of God. But on the bottom of that, there was a place that was specifically built in there. It had many mangers in it. Now, manger is just a fancy word for a food trough. It's not a wood food trough. the main road going into Bethlehem. And I'm sure Joseph had a moment where he began to think, there's no comfortable place here to take my wife to give that baby, to have a little bit of privacy. But I remember that tower. Maybe we'll go there and we'll be able to find comfort there. A man not knowing the spiritual ramifications of what God is doing, but somewhere in his heart knowing that the child that his wife is carrying is the king of the world. And I wouldn't doubt that even Joseph in his mind probably just overlooked it, or maybe he even thought about it, that serve a God who sits up on his throne and he has forgotten about humanity. And he just says, well, whatever works out, however it works out, that's fine with me. We don't serve a God that does that. We serve a God that has searched out every avenue of your life. It says in the Word of God that he is omnipotent. You know what that means? He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is not bound by time. He walks through our lives as if it is nothing. He sits at the end of our life and also at the beginning and also right now and also 10 minutes from now and also 10 years from now. God is sitting in the midst of the will of God for our lives all throughout it. All of our failures, all of our struggles, all of our trials. He has placed himself in your life every step of the way, that you not miss him, that you might receive this sign that Jesus is who he says that he is. But in that recognition that you might tell somebody else, because God has chosen you to be in somebody's life the same way that he chose someone else to be in your life that gave you the sign of Jesus Christ. Well, it is a continuous cycle where God reveals himself to men, women, and children of all colors, of all cultures, of all nations, and he loves you to the point where he says, I trust you to share this word, to share this revelation, to share my goodness. Folks, when's the last time that you went out and you said to someone that doesn't know him, let this be a sign to you that God's not forgotten you? Brother Mickey used to have this statement all the time. Has anyone told you today that God loves you? Has anyone told you today, let this be a sign to you, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. He's not forgotten you. Folks, I need a man and a woman sometimes to step into my life, even though I'm the pastor, even though I'm supposed to be spiritual, even though I'm supposed to know all these things. I need someone to come every once in a while and just say, let this be a sign to you, Ray, that God loves you and he's not forgotten about you. Folks, it's not limited to the lost. It's for all of us. It should be our lifestyle to bring up the goodness and the testimonies of God. You know, in Corinthians, as he's setting up how the church should function, you know, he says that the people should get up and they should praise God with their voices. That they should sing psalms unto the Lord and give rejoicings from the testimonies of God in their life. Folks, when we come into church, we should be taking these moments looking at one another. You'll never guess what God did for me this week. You'll never guess what God did for me this week. Or even sometimes you can come in and say, I feel like I crawl in here sometimes. And you'll never guess what happened this week. My dog died. It sounded like a country song this week. But to the glory of God, in the midst of all my trouble, he has still found me here, and he's made himself glorious in my situation. Isn't that wonderful? You can have the worst life of all and him still be good. I can tell you, there was a man named Lazarus that stood out in front of the gates of a rich man. And that rich man had many fine things in the great life. Lazarus, he was sickly, he was poor, he was a beggar. He ate the scraps off the table of the rich man. And one day they both died. But Lazarus was taken onto the king. And the rich man went to hell. And that rich man looked up in that great chasm, and he saw Lazarus. And he cried out to Abraham and said, would you tell Lazarus to just dip his pinky finger into some water and cool my tongue? And Abraham responded. He said, you had your chance. You had your chance. You cared more about the things of this world than you did about the things of God's kingdom. And the rich man said, would you